The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome once again to Afternoons with Mike. I'm so happy to be back here in the studio. Been in Texas on a little getaway. Got my good friend Mark Goldstein in the room here with me, actually in the studio. We're not in the same room. We're socially distanced, but it's great having you here, Mark.
Mike, it's socially distanced or not, it's always great being in the same building with you.
Oh, man, I enjoy this so much, and we've got an open door in between us, not like our nice studio, which is so nice, and I'm just anxious to be able to use it to its full capacity. That day, we are praying, will come. But in the interim, this is life as we know it. And boy, Mark, you've had a different year. We've all had a different year in 2020. Yours was made especially different because you retired from the Central Florida Chamber. You led that for how many years?
11.
11 years. Wow. Did you ever think you'd be the president that long?
No. In fact, my desire was to retire in 2016, but God wouldn't let me.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he finally let me loose.
Yeah. And I remember that you told us all that when you first met Crystal Parker, who's
yes.
now leading the chamber, that you had met, you knew she was going to be the one to take your place, and she was.
So much so that when I left that meeting with her, because we were just talking about the chamber, she was looking at joining with her business,
mm-hmm.
Impact and Intent and Impact. And a half-hour meeting turned into 2 hours and or more, and I left that meeting and got in the car, called Ronnie, my wife, and I said, mm-hmm. Ronnie, I just met my successor. I just haven't told her.
I love it when that kind of confidence is so evident to
yeah.
you, and it's
Absolutely.
Right there. You knew it.
Almost definitely.
Wow. So it's been July 1 since yeah. then, and in that amount of time, you are also now, you've stepped into a new role with CLC, Christian Leadership Concepts.
Yes.
And you're going to be kind of like heading up all the discipling for the Better Man event, which is right around the corner.
Well, what's interesting is, you know, my mantra, it's all about relationships. And in years past, I developed some great relationships with people who are now on the leadership team for Better Man.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things Better Man does great is in one night, they get guys juiced up for Jesus. I mean, they're ready to rip their shirts off and, you know, go storm the gates of hell. You know, it's that. But one of the things they've never been good at is a follow-up discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
The what's next. Okay, guys are ready, raring to go. You know, cocked, ready to fire. Give us a target. And several months ago, I introduced them to BME, to CLC, and what a great alphabet took place. And so now the program, we have a very new program that's ideal for Better Man. So at the event, we're going to give men the opportunity to text their interest to us, and we're going to help them form groups,
mm-hmm.
discipleship groups, growth groups, out, you know, right after the event.
You know, right after, I should say, right before I left for Texas, we had Andy Searles up here, and Andy was telling us all about mm-hmm. some of the details about the upcoming event and who's going to be there, and it's really going to be exciting. But one of the late changes that's happened, and I'm not sure how much maybe phase three of reopening might have had to do with it, but there's actually going to be a component of a live crowd
right.
at the First Baptist, and people can actually be a part of that by contacting the website. Go to the website, Better Man Event, BetterManEvent betterman.org, I believe, is the...
Or calm, either one works.
Okay.
Betterman 2020. There's several ways you can get there.
You can find it, and you can actually be a part of the studio audience that's going to be there. And I think the big name that a lot of people are going to really say, hey, man, this is going to be super special, it's going to be Lecrae.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you like his music or not, but I typically am not a big fan of rap or hip hop type of music, but I like him.
Well, that's the thing with Lecrae. It's his story. And the fact that he's also a bridge between gospel and secular. And he's loved in both ways, which, I think that's pretty novel. He has a very unique message.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for, you know, a lot of folks, that message really resonates. You know, a 65-year-old white guy that's pretty gray.
Maybe not so much.
Not so much, but I can appreciate his ministry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But there's going to be a lot going on additionally at the Better Man event this year. An interview by Daryl Strawberry, a baseball great. I think most of us, those same groups of people that you're talking about in their 60s, would without a doubt remember that name. And then more recently, another great name of someone that will be taking part is Mariano Rivera, who was, is a Hall of Famer now with the Yankees, and he retired a couple of years ago. And boy, he was a great pitcher, man.
And he was, and he and Strawberry actually played together on the Yankees. But the interesting thing with Daryl Strawberry is people remember the drugs, you know, the
troubled but talented,
right? What most folks don't know is that was the lemons. The lemonade is that he is such a warrior for the Lord, and God has used him more off the field, away from baseball, than he ever did on the field. But a strong believer, and people are going to see that in the interaction with the... Actually, Daryl is actually interviewing Mariano.
Well, it's going to be a wonderful time, and that's coming up on November the 7th.
Right.
And again, there's the live opportunity now with the Better Man event, and that's going to be at First Baptist in Orlando.
Yeah.
But there are also myriads of ways to take part. They're opening this up. It's a virtual event as well, meaning that if you have a church or a business room, like a meeting room where your employees, you could be invited to take part on that Saturday. You can invite them over and take part. It's just really amazing what the options are for this year's event.
Most of us know men that aren't saved or who have a nominal relationship at best. And we always find it difficult to find the right timing, the right words to say, how do we approach this? But my goodness, for $10, you can sign up to register to have it in your home, invite guys over, do some pizza, do a little barbecue, whatever, and watch this thing together. What's great is the conversations that will ensue. Plus, right after Sammy Rodriguez does his message and his call, that's when Craig Fry from CLC is going to have a 2-minute message encouraging guys to not let it end the night of the 7th. So, yeah, for $10, you can bring 10, 15, 20 guys in your home. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If a church or a business wants to show this, it's $100.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is it's going to have shelf life because you can watch it again and again. You know, the holidays come over, your family comes into town, show it again. What's happened, you know, which scripture, when Jacob or Joseph, Joseph said to his brothers, what you did for evil, God did for good.
He intended for good. That's right.
Yeah. And I think that's what's happened here is that instead of having 9,000 guys back in May at Silver Spurs Arena, it's 9,000, maybe to the power of 10, that are going to be able to watch this all around the world and watch it again and again and again.
You know, one of the things that Andy was saying was, regardless of what happens, let's say with a new and relaxed kind of a state of life, once this pandemic officially ends, and people are saying it will, although there are differing estimates as to how long we're going to be under the mask stage and all of that. But once it ends, Andy was saying that they don't see a day coming where they won't live stream it. So that component is probably here to stay. And I think in a lot of ways, wouldn't you agree with this, that businesses are going to be finding the same thing, that the types of meetings that are that are being held right now had to be held with Zoom. And I know you're the Zoom king yourself. There have been days, what you had, like some days where you've had, what, 8 or 9 meetings?
I think seven.
Seven?
Was, yeah.
Well, that's way too many. But I like talking. I can't imagine 7 Zoom meetings. I was on one today. But, you know, it's one of those things to where it is now part of our life, probably going to be part of our culture.
Right.
And it's going to be part of business there are many good things about that, because we've all found how effective it is. So imagine if we do have 2,500 people that can be at the Better Man event, and then you have 25,000 people or more around the world watching, that is exponentially greater than any one event in any one venue that you could ever have.
Exactly.
Notwithstanding the fact that, like you said, the shelf life would be such that you could do the same thing next week if you wanted to take the recording and show it again.
There's a church in Pittsburgh that would love to do it, but they had already had something longstanding set up for the night of the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing it the night of the 14th, and they have about 600 guys that are coming.
Wow.
Yeah, and the thing with First Baptist, you know, their guys are going to get first dibs on the tickets for that. There will be some, but the beauty of this is, you know, you get the same impact watching it from the comfort of your man cave or whatever you want to do. And you can set up the whole ambiance or whatever you want that to look like.
Yeah, you get food and have a great night with your friends or with your family. A lot of dads and sons are going to be watching this together. We talked about Mariano Rivera and also Daryl Strawberry and Lecrae. And you mentioned Pastor Sammy Rodriguez.
Yes.
I think he's from California, right?
I believe so.
I think that's the case. He is a well-known speaker, speaks in both English and Spanish, and very effective in both. Then there's a comedian by the name of Johnny W. that I've never seen him in person, but I've watched him on video. Boy, oh boy, is he funny.
Yeah.
It's going to be a great night.
And they have a very surprise MC. In fact, I don't know that they've made that public.
I don't think I've heard that.
But yeah, it's going to be kind of neat.
Okay, so we'll leave that one as a surprise.
You know, it's not somebody you would think of necessarily as a Christian, but he is.
Oh, all right. Well, this is going to be really a wonderful time. Mark Goldstein is my guest here in the studio today. Before we take our first break, you and I were talking about the climate of things, and obviously this is a big week. We're heading into the last weekend of October, Sunday, November 1st. Well, we all know what the 3rd is, next Tuesday. It's Election Day. Things are fever pitched right now, and this is a really important deal. I'm sure that churches all around are going to be making a push for Christians to get out there and become part of the process this coming Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you want me to expand?
Yeah,
you want
I wanted
to say
you to
that to after
yeah,
the break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What are you seeing from your vantage point on that?
I'm seeing a lot of good in that we have more people that have early voted so far for this election than the total in Florida that voted last time in 2016.
Oh, my.
What that's telling me is that people care. They want to be part of the dialogue. They want to be part of the solution, whoever they're voting for. We don't have complacency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in scriptural terms, we don't have Laodicea. You know, people are either hot or cold. They're left or right or whatever, but they're making their voice heard.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of who is elected, I think it says a lot for the American people. Look, God gave Israel Manasseh. And as a result of Manasseh down the road, God gave Israel over to Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. God is in control. And one person can't necessarily wreck a country. You know, he puts in who's going to be in. I don't think whoever wins is going to be a surprise to God.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes back to us. You know, what are we doing? How engaged are we? And not even so much in the political process. Yeah, we vote. We do our civic duty and vote. But we're children of the kingdom. We're heirs of God. We're sons and daughters of God. What's more importantly is not what party we espouse, but who from heaven we espouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the real big thing is, can we get as passionate for seeing people become Christians, having a relationship with Christ, as we do passionate about who we think should be president?
Mm-hmm. I was sitting at the airport in Dallas yesterday and reading the news and saw something that I had not heard. Haven't watched a lot of news this last week. We've been playing the role of a grandparent out in Dallas, Fort Worth area. And in there was, they said, trending in Google right now is the sentence, "Can I change my vote?" So the people that have voted early, it would appear that there is a great number of people who have done just that, and now they're regretting their choice that they made, and they're wondering, can I do it? And my first thought would have been, I don't know that they can, but from what I read, a lot of states allow them to make a change.
That's interesting. I've never heard that, but I could see where chaos would ensue.
Yeah, you know, it comes down to, we're already hearing all of the concerns about whether or not this is going to be, let's say a fairly adjudicated, is that a nice word I can use? I'm trying to say nice here. A correctly managed a polling experience for people. And I'm hearing today about some regions are putting in National Guard, not armed, but National Guard members at polling spots just to kind of keep things at peace and keep it there. But imagine just seemingly what could go wrong with a person voting a second time. I mean, you know, the old joke was years ago, you know, vote early, vote often, you know.
Chicago.
And now we're having a situation to where maybe not often, but again, and the question is begged, if they do, is that first ballot going to be correctly discarded and not counted? It just seems like a lot of confusion could take place.
Much, much confusion. I think what will keep chaos from really happening is if there's a landslide. If there is an absolute mandate and the states that you expect to go certain ways go that way even more.
Mm-hmm.
That just meant more people that have that bent got out and voted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if there is a strong mandate and it isn't so close to where there's a bunch of recounts where people can start saying their shenaniganism and stuff. That's what I'm praying for, is just whichever, whoever, that it's a clear mandate.
Well, add to that, before we take our break, what would your advice be? What are you praying for as you approach November 3rd?
Unity. That regardless, we're a country that was founded on people who tolerance, acceptance. The whole idea you had the liberty to be who you wanted to be. And I just don't want to see intolerance, mm-hmm. where you don't believe like me, so you're wrong and something has to happen to you, mm-hmm. kind of thing. So just calm, peace, unity.
Now, having said that, I know you wouldn't not ask God for something that you're not believing, but do you have concerns that we're going to see big demonstrations of disunity?
Mike, I'm pulling my mask out of my pocket right now and waving mm-hmm. it. Look, churches are dividing mm-hmm. over masks, mm-hmm. businesses, economies are being divisive. It's divisive. The mask, and if the mask can do it, yeah. I think we could have civil war over a plethora of things.
Well, I tell you what, we need God, and I believe yes. it's only God that could avoid maybe bring an end to some of these things, help us avoid them in the days that are coming. But one thing for sure, those days are almost here, and we've seen a lot of things that's already happened this past week. A new justice has been seated on the bench. The Supreme Court is now back to 9, and there are many people who are thinking that Justice Amy Coney Barrett could be immediately called into action to rule on this election. Yep. And so there's a lot that could go on in the next couple of days. My guest today is Mark Goldstein, and Mark and I will be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike. Don't you dare go away. In the studio with me is Mark Goldstein, my good friend and a regular contributor to our program here. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you are on the Shepherd. Feeling a bit jet lagged after my trip from Dallas. That's not serious jet lag. I think it might be more just too many days of being grandpa, you know?
Hey, are we going to get any time during this show to where I can just get the 411 on your vacation?
Oh, absolutely. I'll be glad to give that to you. In fact, I can do that right now.
Please.
We had a great time. Cindy and I headed down on one of these wonderful, inexpensive flights on a carrier. I just love Southwest. I'm the two bags free and really great flights coming and going. Went to see my son and his wife and their 4 delightful kids. And they live, you know, it's like many people experience. You live a little farther away from them than you would like. But every time we see them, it's just grand. And so one of the things, probably the highlight for us, was on the very first full day there, we got up and we all went to Waco. And my wife is a lover of Chip and Joanna Gaines and the whole Magnolia craze, the Fixer Upper couple.
Okay.
And that place is just, Mark, have you ever been there?
No.
They are single-handedly redoing Waco, I believe. I mean, they've brought new life and new commerce, and they are growing. It's starting to feel like a theme park now when you go there to this place. But they have got something for everybody, and it's wonderful. And I've always enjoyed that couple, their show on HGTV. I became a fan of it too, and so now they're starting a new network. The Magnolia Network will be starting next year, sometime after the first of the year. But we got to walk around there and all the different type of shops, and Cindy did some early Christmas shopping and some birthday buying and all of that. And then we came home and went fishing, and caught two of the smallest fish you've ever seen.
It's called bait.
Believe me, I've used bigger bait than what I caught that day.
So,
oh my goodness!
How long had it been since you saw your grandkids?
Christmas of last year, this past year. Yeah.
So with all those months, did you notice changes in them?
Yeah, they're probably more just growing up and maturity and all of that than physical size. But I did get to see my fourth, which I hadn't seen him before.
Okay.
So he was born just a couple of months ago, and his name is Asher, and he was just a delight. And he did the right thing, Mark. He smiled for Grandpa real big and over and over and over. So, yep, that's the kind of the highlights of my trip right there. The rest of the time is spending time with family, and you can never get enough of that.
Yeah.
Just love it. So glad to be back, and it was a good, restful time. Although you know what it's like when you get back, even from a restful vacation, you feel like you need to have a couple of days to get back into the groove, and that's what I'm feeling today. It's like, okay, I've been really relaxed, and I'm feeling it right now.
Back to the real world.
Back to the real world. So we were talking in the last segment, we were talking about unity and the need for unity. And you brought up a great illustration about a former Speaker of the House and the minority leader. Back in the day,
right,
when it was Tip O'Neill and
Newt Gingrich. And others. But others
like that. But give that story of what you're talking about.
Well, when you look at politically opposed on philosophy, you can't get any different than Thomas Tip O'Neill and mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich. And, you know, they would argue on the floor of the Congress, very passionate, heated arguments. And when they adjourned, they would go to dinner together. They'd have a steak, a drink, or whatever together. There was respect for each other. They disagreed politically, but they actually enjoyed each other's company. Last week during the confirmation, or before that, it was in front of the Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
When it was over, Dianne Feinstein got up and hugged Lindsey Graham because of on the circumstances. It was handled very well. And
a lot different than the one for Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah. But anyhow, so she was just expressing a genuineness. Do you know that the majority of the people in her party were up in arms that she would be nice to a Republican?
Yeah.
That just shows the divisiveness. People are it's personal. There's a vitriolic hatred, a mm-hmm. demonization of both parties. So you can see how it's very difficult to get anything done in a sane way in any part of Congress.
Mm-hmm. And this has been going on. I've heard that such a rift has been experienced this whole year between the Speaker and Nancy Pelosi and the President. They're not talking.
No. And I mean, look with the State of the Union. She stands up and in a very contrived, dramatic way. She rips a pre-ripped speech.
Yeah.
And I mean, what an insult. You just don't do that. There is a certain respect that, okay, you don't like the person, you have respect for the office.
Mm-hmm. I grew up hearing that, Mark.
Yeah.
What happened to that? That was a good saying. It was more than a cliche. It was a really good way of living.
Well, you said it before the break. The times we're living in. I think it's a harbinger of what to expect. You know, we read the book of Revelation, and now what seemed somewhat impossible is possible mm-hmm. and probable. I mm-hmm. mean, we can see how certain elements can come together and how people that fear can give up rights and wink at things that they would have thought was abhorrent just in the under the heading of safety.
Mm-hmm. And it is getting worse, no doubt, in the years in which I went to college. This would be in the 70s when I was there, and we heard things that seemed far-fetched. It seemed impossible to think that that day could ever come. But we're living them out right now.
Yes.
When it's been talked about that the news media would not report the news, but work to sway the news.
Yeah.
And I think that's happening. I mean, there's no doubt about it in many, many instances, and the statistics are showing it more and more to be the case, where there is the big new word is a narrative. There's a narrative that's out there. And just like you were talking about when Dianne Feinstein hugged Lindsey Graham,
yeah,
that did not fit the narrative.
No, not at all.
And as a result, she's been called on by those in her own party, not a rebuke, but a request that she step down.
Yeah. That she's unfit to serve because she's a human being.
Yeah. It's really troubling, and it really does make us wonder what happened to our country and the love for each other. Even if you saw some things different, the old standby saying was, but we still are Americans. We still are part of the same country, and we want to live mindful and respectful of that. That day does seem to be gone right now.
It does. And what has made what we're going through now different than any other time in history is everybody in the world is going through the same thing at the same time.
Yeah.
And, you know, every Sunday I'm on a Zoom call with a group, primarily in Scotland and England, and somebody from Provo, Utah. So, but
what group is this? Is that something you can talk about?
Well,
probably not.
Yeah, it's a guy I met on one of our cruises, and he does.
Oh, it's a private meeting.
Yeah, he does.
Okay.
Yeah, he does relaxation things like that, and we all come on, and he walks us through, and it's a
That's
good
cool.
decompressing
mm-hmm.
time. But anyhow, you know, everybody. There's people all around the earth that are on this call, which is kind of nice. The technology allows you to do that. Some people are it's way early in the morning and some it's late at night. But the idea that we're all going through the same stuff, there's still the same concerns. There's the same wonderment of what's going on. So this is a global
mm-hmm.
issue. And that's, I think, what makes it a game changer. And that, I think, is where we're no longer being Chicken Little, you know, saying the sky's falling. I think that in some ways it has. But being a realist, I'm not going to be a date setter and I'm not going to read tea leaves or anything. But I'm going to use the wisdom God gave me. To discernment,
mm-hmm.
And understanding that my role in all of this is to live for him and for others, to be that catalyst for the gospel,
mm-hmm.
to know that if time is short, I don't want to leave anything on the table. If there's somebody that God wants me to minister to, I want to be very receptive to do that however he wants me to do it.
I had the most delightful talk with Jim Henry, former mm-hmm. pastor at First Baptist Orlando. And he was saying that very same thing. And he was describing a day in which he was walking past a person in a hallway and walked past them and greeted them as he did. And he got maybe 5-10 steps down and he felt the Holy Spirit speak to his heart, which I loved hearing his telling this story. And he said, I felt like God just spoke to my heart and say, go back, talk to him. He needs to talk.
Yeah.
So he did. He stopped in his tracks. He turned around and he said, I just wanted to check in with you and see, is there anything that I can pray with you over? Mm. Well, come to find out there was. And it was a significant moment in his life when we take the time and we're listening, number one, to God. Number two, we obey what he tells us to do in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sometimes maybe a little bit more difficult than it would seem like it should be for us to follow through in that moment.
How often do we interact with somebody and they tell us something and we say, I'll pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll remember to pray for you, or I'll put you on my prayer list.
Yeah. Do we?
Yeah. But wouldn't it be better to say, hey, can I pray for you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do it right then.
Right.
It means so much to people. But we're living in a time where people are hurt and they're wearing it on their sleeve. They're not hiding anything. I was sharing with you, I was in Publix last week and, got sushi. It's Sushi Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Those who go to Publix know what I'm talking about. So anyhow, there was a guy standing at the case, kind of in the middle of it, and just looking and just checking things out. I was in a bit of a hurry, and I saw exactly what I get. It's what I get every week. So I reached in, and I picked it up. Was nowhere near him, didn't touch him, didn't breathe on him. We were all in masks. He just started cussing me out.
Mm.
And, you know, it just reminded me that people, this is a tinderbox. And if you are standing up for Christ, you're standing out.
Mm.
You know, we are that Titus 2:14, I believe it is. We're that peculiar people that he uses. But wow, it really caught me off guard. I mean, I went home and I felt very, very unsettled. I mean, I definitely didn't want to go as he was cussing and walking away. I didn't want to go up and pray for him. Back in the old days, I would have probably decked him from what he said. But I think a lot of us are seeing that same thing. People are just, there's no tolerance. There's no acceptance. People are on just the very edge of irritation at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to set them off.
God help us. I'm thinking of another place, 1 Peter, but you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people who've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light to show forth the praises unto him.
Yeah.
I tell you, you know, that's the way God wants us to live. And yet, I think we all can have experienced this. And to many of us, it's sadly oftentimes that we don't listen to that still small voice, like what Jim Henry was saying, go back and pray for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're seeing lots of times people that we should be praying for right there on the spot, even if it's to ourselves. Pray for him. God have mercy. It's going to take something of a move of God to get us back where we need to be. And in some aspects, I'm praying that this new normal that we're all experiencing right now is not going to be the new normal. I'm praying that it quickly becomes the old new way that didn't stay that way long.
Or
we could start
seeing the new abnormal.
Yes. That's what I feel like we're in sometimes. This is Afternoons with Mike. Thank you for being here. My guest today is Mark Goldstein. We'll be back with one more segment with Mark coming up in just a moment. Hey, friends. Thank you for being with me today. This is the Afternoons with Mike program, and in the studio with me, Mark Goldstein. Mark has been up here a number of times in this past year since we started this program. And, you know, these are the times that we say, God, we need you. This is an old expression. I need you today more than ever. And I think there's not a time that that's not true. We always need him more than we can ever think or imagine. But in many ways, this is particularly true this week. We need God. We need him to move and we need to grow. We need to change. And what we were talking about in segment one, Mark, is that that kind of change is not going to necessarily be an easy change. It's not a quick fix, is it?
It's not. And I think what we all have to come to terms with is whoever is elected, there's going to be a lot of people that are upset.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of who gets elected, we need to be at peace. We need to recognize that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Hebrews 13:8. I love that.
He's in control, and the Holy Spirit, regardless of who's president, the Holy Spirit can still work through our lives to mm-hmm. minister to others.
I think one of the biggest comforts that I have is the reality, it's the truth, that God is in control. That what we're talking about here is the fact that there is no doubt about it that he is a sovereign God. And as we've heard all of our lives, if he's Lord of all, he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. When we know that last part is not true, he is Lord.
Yes.
So if he's Lord of all, he's Lord over all. And we are in his hands. And I think that one of the things that I've loved knowing about you, Mark, is that you're a student of the word. You're a reader of the word. And in fact, you may be the most ardent reader of the word that of anybody that I've ever met. How many times have you read through the entire Bible?
35.
I was talking to somebody the other day that knows you, and they were thinking the number was in the 20s. And I said, I'm pretty sure it's more than that. And it's 35 times. And this method that you have started off from the YouVerse Bible app.
Yeah.
And basically, it just guides you through a daily reading program. But it, obviously, it's not the app that allows you to do that. It's the drive in you that gets up early in the morning and puts your face in the Word of God. And you read, and that reading, it changes things.
It does. And now, the disclaimer is my youngest is 44 years old. So I don't have the youngins running around to be the, where I have to dedicate a lot of time to them. There's really nothing on TV that I care to watch. So, I spend morning and night. So generally, I use the Bible in 90 days. App
mm-hmm.
because it sets out a course of reading. But most of the time I finish it in about 65 days.
Wow. Just over 2 months.
But the thing is, it isn't just getting into the Bible. It's letting the Bible get into you. It's just something about sitting down and reading that love story. Over and over, it just gets richer and sweeter. This sounds kind of gross, but I know a lot of people read a lot of books. I mean, there's a lot of great Bible expositors on the Shepherd. David Jeremiah.
Oh, he's wonderful.
It's amazing. And I like listening to him. But for the really being a Berean and getting into the Word myself, I kind of, like I said, this is going to sound kind of gross, but imagine going to a restaurant, ordering this most delicious dinner, and when it comes and the waiter sets it down in front of you or the server sets it down in front of you, asking them to chew it up first before you eat it. That's gross, but
yeah,
isn't that if all we do is listen to what people say or read books by people who, expound on the Bible, aren't we doing the same thing? We're getting it secondhand. For me, going through the Bible and letting God speak to me through his word. And every time I go through, I'll hit the same chapter and verses, and it'll speak to me a little differently. It's because mm-hmm. what I need and what I generally find is what I need that day, he gives to me, and it comes out in an interaction that I have. He's prepared me through what he's given me that day.
I think that most of us miss this dynamic with God in our prayer, in our Bible reading. And that's the dynamic that Milton Vincent, he wrote this book called The Gospel Primer, and some people pronounce it primer, depending on if you come from...
Potato.
Yeah, if you come from the English-speaking world or whether you come from the Americanized English-speaking world, it would probably matter. But the book has a way of expressing what is so critical about reading and praying that, and he's talking about that if a person is having a hard time getting past a besetting sin, and which of us would not be right now? And our country is beset with sin right now. We need this concept that he talks about. And he says that many people approach trying to get past that by just merely trying harder. Or getting up in the morning, and it's the old expression that my dad used to say, you know, kind of pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you just try to do your best. And he says the best way to change, the best way to have a difference in your life is not by trying harder, but it's by displacing that besetting sin with the Word of God and with prayer and with worship.
Sure.
And that when we fill our heart and our mind with God, the part of displacing is not done by you and me. God does that. He pushes this other stuff out because his word is it just takes preeminence in our heart. We can't change our heart.
Well, and knowing that the Bible is the living, breathing word, the manifestation of God in printed form, that to say, God, why don't you speak to me? I pray to you, but I never hear anything back.
Mm-hmm.
Get into the Word, because that is God speaking to us in a very, very tangible way.
And his Word is life.
Yes.
It's wonderful. It's health. I love the old expression from the prophet Jeremiah. It says, thy words were found... I love this. And I ate them.
Yes.
Thy words became for me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name.
Mm.
That's powerful. That concept, that image of getting the word and eating it and letting it become part down deep in our soul.
I've had the privilege of interacting with Wycliffe over the years, Wycliffe Bible Translator. Mm-hmm. And gone to scripture celebrations where a nation, a village or whatever, got the Bible for the first time in their heart language. And to see people take the Bible and just weep uncontrollably over it, that they have the Word of God in their heart language, it's just overwhelming. And, you know, now, I use my app to read, but you know, I've got like about maybe 10, 12 different Bibles on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all these Bibles, and some poor person in Somalia is, you know, cries because they finally got, you know, a word, you know, the word that they can read.
Randy Alcorn in his book Safely Home, obviously it's a novel. But it's a novel that has been written with a lot of real-life facts as the guides. And in this book, he talks about how that many that are in communist countries like where China, where it's against the law to have the Bible. It's against the law to be caught with one in your hand. And yet many of them, they don't have the entire Bible, Mark.
Yeah.
They have pages out of their Bible. And they treat that page as if it were a prized possession. And they risk their lives to go and read it with other believers to pray together.
Yeah.
And you know, when you do something like that, that does change. It displaces our mindset.
Yeah.
It says there are other things more important than what I'm concerned about today.
In fact, I just finished his book, Randy's book, Money, Possessions, and Eternity.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It was like,
That's a big book.
4 inches thick.
Yeah, we went through that years ago in our church. It's an amazing book, actually. But he's a writer who does write with eternity in view. And we're kind of winding down here on our time today. But I believe that's a good place for us to end, that we could do what theologians, what Puritans would always say back in centuries past, that we live today with our eye on that day.
Yeah.
That we live today like tomorrow was going to be different than what yesterday was. We live today like the Lord could return tomorrow, yeah, or maybe even today. If we live that way, we will live, we will get, we'll begin to live differently.
Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Revelation 21:22, and I saw a new heaven and new earth.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would do us all well to read Revelation 21:22. The other stuff in Revelation, it can get a little confusing. It can, but 21:22 is not confusing.
Right. Hits the mark.
It is. And I would encourage every one of our listeners to read that every day as an encouragement.
Well, especially this week.
Yes.
Mark Goldstein, thank you so much for being my guest today. It's always a joy to have you in the studio, my friend.
It's a joy to be here.
Well, thank you, friends, too, for being here. And we'll catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.